This morning, we come to the word of life, the word of life. Last week, we talked about the organic salvation, and we're saved by his life. But in order to get life, we need to learn to call on the name of the Lord as lesson two. And also we need to live in the mingled spirit. Praise the Lord that our spirit is now mingled with his spirit. And then thus our spirit is where life is. The Lord has give us a salvation. His salvation is of two parts. And one part is a judicial redemption. We don't have to do anything. And it is God's righteousness. We all have been redeemed by his judicial redemption. Now we are being saved by his organic salvation. We have this salvation in us, but how do we get this salvation? We need more life, because we have more life and therefore we can be more saved. The problem with us newly saved ones is our life is so little. The divine life in us is little, like a little baby. Therefore, there are a lot of things of the divine life in us is not so real. How do we grow in that life? We need more life. That means we need to grow in life. Last week, I shared with you what is life. Life has three functions. Number one, life wants to eat. Life must eat to continue. And then number two, life must duplicate itself to reproduce itself. And number three, life must, Lord Jesus, what did I say? Anyway, life must manifest itself as a goal. I pray that the Lord will show us that we need more life. But to get life means we need to exercise our spirit more. The problem with us is that we are men with three parts. We live in our spirit, our soul, and our body. But before we get saved, we were living in our soul and our body more. So there are people who are very much living by their fleshly stimuli, and they live because they feel good, or they pay attention to their fleshly outward stimulus. But there are people who also live not by the our fleshly stimulus from our body, but more the stimulus from our mind. You like to read, you like to listen to TV, or you want to watch TV or read novel. All these are something that will stimulate our mind, and we live in our soul. Now we have the divine life in us. We need to live in that divine life. However, it is hard for us to live in that divine life because we're so used to live in our soul. Most of us are not fleshly. We don't go out and sin and do all these kind of evil things because of our fleshly lusts. But we still do a lot of the soulish things, things in our soul, try to understand or try to satisfy our curiosity or satisfy our emotion, our love, or our decisions of making ability. All this, we don't realize that we need life to do all these things, because we're so used to live that way, so we are still living in our soul and not paying attention to our inner life. However, the life in us will save us because it will, many times it will protest. It will tell us, no, you cannot go this way. You cannot do that. Or the life in us will have a like a traffic red light. It will shine into us and say, no, don't do that. You don't go to Las Vegas. You don't go gambling or things of that nature. But many of us do not really care if we think that we are reading the newspaper or Reader's Digest or a novel, we don't think that's anything bad. If you read especially the philosophy books, you think, oh, I'm trying to improve myself. You go to today's psychology. Psychology has many magazines and many books, try to improve your thinking, and all these things are actually not your, that's not life, and the Lord does not care for that. So what the Lord is doing in us is that, well, we need more life, and the life is the life that we have is the divine life, and it's mainly in our spirit. However, our spirit is kind of mysterious, intangible. It's like the wind, like the air. You know it's there, but you can't really see it because you don't see it. And we live in our material world. And so if I don't see it, I would say, maybe I don't have it. No, actually, you have a spirit. But the spirit is mysterious, is intangible. So what do we do? The Lord knows all that. He knows that we live in a three-part time man. So he also gave us the word of God. And the word of God, the word of God is the embodiment of the spirit. And that's why in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, every scripture is God-breathed. Isn't that wonderful? All scripture is God-breathed. So we do not have to go to the Lord, say, hey, Lord, give me some breath. And the breath is actually already in the scripture. So here it is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So if you breathe in the word of God will teach you. What does that mean? That means it will renew our minds. It will teach us the ways of God and God's the revelation of God. So we praise the Lord. The Lord knows the Spirit is so mysterious. So the Lord gave us the Word. And the Word is the incarnation of the Spirit. The Spirit is mysterious. But the Spirit is now, every word is the breath of God. God breathed out in the word. We praise the Lord that we could actually breathe in life, breathe in God. But our problem is that when we come to the scriptures, like the Pharisees in John chapter 5, verse 39, the Lord told the Pharisees, they search the scriptures. He says, you search the scripture because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify concerning me. Yet you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. So the life actually is in the word, and the scripture is supposed to bring you life. However, these verses, verse 39, verse 40, shows that it is so possible for as men to separate the word from life. And you could come to the scriptures just for the scriptures, because the scriptures gives you teaching, gives you conviction, gives you correction and instruction in righteousness without life. You could do that. But if we just touch the word without life, the word can only give us teaching and correction. But there's no ability to fulfill that teaching. So our problem as human, we have this problem of if we think we know what God wants us to do, then we can do it to please God. And not knowing that we are unable to do that, right? So how do we fulfill the desire God wants in us? It is by his life. The only way to get by his life is by taking the word in. And so whenever we come to the word, when we study the word, and many of us encourage to study the word, but as we study the word, we must realize we come to life of the word, not just the teaching of the word. Okay. That was John chapter 5. John chapter 6, verse 36, the Lord Jesus said, it is the Spirit that gives life. Okay, it's here. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and are life. So the Spirit here is the Spirit of life. The life will strengthen us to fulfill this word. So every time we come to the word, we must have the desire to touch the life in the word. If we do not touch the life in the word, we come to the word in vain, because we just come to get the knowledge, yet we lack ability. We lack this life to fulfill that word, all right? And so we try our best to do the word, to fulfill the word, just like the Old Testament saints, and we fail, miserably. Many times we'll confess our sins, but we'll fail again, and we'll fail again. And many of the saints also thought, wow, I'm tired of confessing the same sin to the Lord again, again, again. Same failure again and again. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord has given us his word. And the word is life. And when we come to the word, we must realize the word is life, is God himself. It is God breathed. Amen. So, so this word, if we take the word in, next week, we will talk about how to take the word in. It is taking it in by prayer. Remember, the Spirit is life. The only way we can get life is by prayer. And prayer is the way to touch our spirit, and the Spirit has life in us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, John chapter 6, we just read the verse. It is the Spirit is life. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So you come to the word, do not come to the letter of the word, but come to the Spirit of the word. That's why we must pray, read the Spirit, the word. And the word will give us life. Excuse me. But praise the Lord, in Ephesians chapter 6, the Lord says, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. And one of the armor of God is in verse 16, put on the received. Well, you've got to put on the whole armor of God, but in verse 16 says, receive the helmet of salvation by means of all prayers and petition, praying at every time in spirit, watching thereunto, in all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints. So here you have, that's verse 18. Verse 17 says, but receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. This helmet of salvation is the word of God, who is also our salvation. And this helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. In John chapter 6, we find the Spirit, the word is life, right? The words that I spoke to you, have spoken to you, are life and are spirit. But here, the word is the sword. What does a sword do? Sword will cut. Sword is our weapon to kill. In here, of course, we are fighting the enemy, therefore we kill Satan. But Satan has put all kind of thoughts in us, right? We do not know how to distinguish Satan's thoughts and our thoughts, or our thoughts and God's thought. So praise the Lord, there is the word of God in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says that, for the word of God is living and operative and sharper than any two-edged sword. Here again, it is the word is a sword. But this sword here is for the piercing, even to the dividing of soul and spirit, and joints and marrows, and are able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So you have, we need the word of God. If we take the word of God in, the word of God will be living and operative. But many of us, when we read the Bible, we read the word of God, we do not touch the Spirit of God, and therefore the word of God becomes some knowledge to us and it's not so living. But if you really touch the word and allow the word to operate in us, then you find out that the word is very living and it's sharp. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It could pierce even into the dividing of soul and spirit. A lot of times we ask ourselves, oh, is this the spirit or this just my thought? Well, if you read the word, you will be clear. What is your spirit? What is not your spirit? And even the able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Many times when we do things or we say things, we did not realize we have an evil intention. Our intention, what people would call it, an austere motive, different motive. Our intention may be for some kind of fame, some kind of praise, approval. That this is all not pure. But the word of God will then expose it. We will know from the word whether we have the right intention or not. So how do we grow? The word of God, we must grow. Excuse me, I need to clear my throat. Okay, the word of God will give us life. And so 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babies, we are newborn babes, especially newborn babes. We need to come to the Word of God as the milk of the Word, to drink the milk of the Word. The Word has full of milk, full of nourishment. And the verse says we should, then we will grow thereby. We can grow by the Word of God. Amen. Then in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, this is the Lord's answer to Satan. Satan is trying to tempt him to change all the stones because the Lord has been fasting for 40 days and he must be hungry. So Satan tempted him to change the stones into bread. But the Lord says, verse 4, he quote what Moses said in Deuteronomy, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. So this is how man should live. Live by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But what are the words proceed out of the mouth of God? This Bible here is the in black and white is not what come out from the mouth of God. Well, it is, but not it is the past. In the past, it was one time it was a breathed out from God, and the prophets and those who were minister of the word, they wrote down this Bible. However, we can read it again. We do not receive life, but we must come to God because every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, which is the breath of God, can give us life. This is how man should live. Amen. So how do we grow? We grow by eating the word, or by drinking the milk of the word, and by eating the word of God. Next week, we will come to how to eat the word of God by reading. And one thing I want to say is that in the beginning, we are eating the word of God, and the word of God should come into us and begin to cut us, to begin to show us that inside of us there are so many things that is not God, right? So he needs to expose us and cut us and kill us. How do we do that? We pray, read the word, and allow the word to operate in us. So that's why in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word of Christ. Here verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing everyone, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And that's why we need to learn to pray, read the word, but also we even need to sing the word. Pray, singing the word. Okay. And the very sister verse to this verse is in Ephesians Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, do not be filled with wine, but in which is a dissolution, but be filled in spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissolution, but be filled in spirit. And it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord. And that's very close to what we just read in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Hear the word of Christ and hear the being filled in spirit are in very, they're parallel. So how do we be filled in spirit? We take the word and let the word of Christ dwell in us. And how do you let it dwell in us? It is by reading the word, and the word becomes life to us. Then we may grow thereby, and not only we grow thereby, the life in us would transform us, would put us into another, we will live in another way, not by ourselves, but by the word, the life and the God and Christ in the word, and will live out from us. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope that we realize that God is so merciful and thoughtful to that he not only he is the spirit, he is also the word of God. In John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the word. And in verse 14 says, the word became flesh. Praise the Lord. He is the word, but the Lord Jesus is the word. He became flesh. So now we can touch him, we contact him. Today, this word that became flesh, the incarnated word, is the spirit and is now living in us. And when we take the word, our word, the word of God, and we pray, we take it with our spirit, we will enjoy the spirit in the word. We will have the eternal life. So the life can in us can grow in that way. This is how Christian can grow. And praise the Lord. The Lord provides us the Spirit. And he became the Spirit living in us. He also is the Word outside of us because we are still living in the tripartite man. We're still living in our body. And the body lives in the physical world. So the Lord has given us also a physical gift. But he put all his Word in this gift. Praise the Lord. So let's touch the word, now touch the Lord in the word, so we may grow. Hallelujah. Amen.